Welcome to the Dean Show. We have a lot to talk about today. You know, there's been over 180,000 plus murders since 9/11. Americans killing Americans. How many of those have been Muslims? We're going to be talking about that. And this year alone, over 356 mass killings, shootings. Two of those, again, linked back to somebody who calls himself a Muslim. And where's the third shooter?
All right, San Bernardino police have confirmed that indeed it was three shooters.
That they saw three men with what appeared to be long rifles.
You're certain that you saw three men?
Yes. It looks like their skin color was, was white.
Where I was at right here, we seen there were three white men in military fatigues.
All this and more this on this week's show, The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is The Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
Welcome back to the Dean Show. Professor, how are you? Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Professor Omar.
Yes, sir.
Great to have you on the Dean Show.
Great to be here. Alhamdulillah.
There's a lot of crazy things going on, and it's very sad. You know, we're here, things are just constantly developing. We're going to get right straight into it. We have no sympathy, nor do we sympathize with people who hurt innocent people. Mm-hmm. It's very clear in Islam. I mean, this is something that anyone who reads the idiot's book to understanding Islam can figure this one out. But recently there was this. Out of the 300, I believe, 56 mass shootings this year, even one is too many.
Yeah.
And I want to take you now to, because this goes to the one of those from the 356 that's linked to it, from the news reports, many people are just wondering what happened here. I'm going to ask you about that after we watch this clip.
Let's do it.
All right, San Bernardino police have confirmed that indeed it was three shooters and that they have indeed left in a black SUV. Before, it was a little bit unclear whether it was one, two, or three shooters. The police are saying that, yes, it was three shooters.
But the reason they believe that there are three individuals is because witnesses told police that they saw three men with what appeared to be long rifles leaving that scene.
I just saw three dressed exactly the same.
You're certain that you saw three men?
Yes. It looks like their skin color was white. They looked like they were athletic build, and they appeared to be tall.
You're certain that you saw three men?
Yes. It looks like their skin color was white. They looked like they were athletic build, and they appeared to be tall.
Where I was at right here, we seen there were three white men in military fatigues taking off.
What were they driving?
It was a black Impala, SUV.
You think that they might have been the shooters?
Yeah. The way they were driving, yeah.
And it just doesn't make sense for these two to be able to act like some kind of Bonnie and Clyde or something. It's just ridiculous. It doesn't add up.
Witnesses told police that they saw three men with what appeared to be long rifles leaving that scene.
There's a lot of disconnects, and there's a lot of unknowns, and there's a lot of things that quite frankly don't add up or seem implausible.
Where I was at right here, we seen there were three white men in military fatigues.
Okay, we got to see, this is major media now reporting as it's actually happening. The witnesses are coming out. Now we know, usually in these government buildings and these institutions, there's cameras all over the place. I don't know if there was at that institution, but open and shut for us is, it's pretty clear. Again, we don't sympathize with anybody who has such extreme ideology. Islam doesn't teach it, preach it. There's no discussion about it. But obviously, if these witnesses are saying, look, we saw a brown skin, a man with a woman with hijab, scarf, whatever the case. She was about, 90 to 100 pounds. they're saying three, mm-hmm. white, athletic, tall. There's a disparity here. I mean, mm-hmm. what do you have to say? What are your comments on that?
So, first, it's an open investigation, right? And we have to wait to see how things play out. You did make this point that there must be cameras, right? And so the cameras would be investigated to see, all right, who's on the scene, how many people, right? What we should then do is explore all the different options, okay? Without intruding upon the investigations like those reporters did who went into the alleged shooter's house and just ransacked the entire apartment, you know, for the sake of ratings. So on the one hand, there is still this big question. If there were three shooters, as different people have said in the clip that you showed.
All right, San Bernardino police have confirmed that indeed it was three shooters.
That they saw three men with what appeared to be long rifles.
You're certain that you saw three men?
Yes. It looks like their skin color was, was white.
Where I was at right here, we've seen there were three white men in military fatigues.
That means there's a third shooter on the loose, right? Now, from the perspective of law enforcement, they're also watching all this, and they're also well aware of that. And they're also going to be calculated in terms of what they share with us, right? But the bottom line is that it raises a question. You know? On the flip side, suppose three people thought that they saw three shooters and it was just these two, then it raises a different set of really hard questions. What is it that could compel a father or especially a mother to abandon their baby? I mean, the bottom line is that this whole event, as well as what people have witnessed, as well as what is the official story, it raises a lot of very, very tough questions that have to be addressed.
You definitely have to be really sick and deranged. I mean, you've actually been studying Islam. You're a professor of Islam at the university. You mm-hmm. teach it. I said someone who just picks up the Idiot's Guide to Understanding yeah. Islam. I mean, it's pretty clear mm-hmm. in Islam, the do's and don'ts and what will win you pleasure of the Creator and mm-hmm. paradise. You do not have this is a one-way ticket to the hellfire doing mm-hmm. something like this.
Absolutely.
Leaving your child. I mean, for many, it's like, what would cause you? There, Islam doesn't teach you this. Mm-hmm. What do you think, sir?
Well, I mean, I've been working for some time in what is now called countering violent extremism or countering targeted violence. And I've had the opportunity to talk to some people who had already gotten in trouble. And there are a few common factors that are easy to identify after the fact. One is just a deep amount of anger. The anger could be related to what's happening with Muslims in the world. More often, it's related to something that's happening in a person's house. Another common issue is a very, very simplistic understanding of very complex issues. And so our deen, our religion is very, very simple in terms of what is haram, what is halal, right? But in terms of applying those passages that speak about violence, that speak about fighting, there are a number of passages that are part of the book. They are the truth, but you can't just haphazardly try to implement them, right? And also a very simplistic understanding of how the world works. There is a mistaken notion that, okay, I can just go shoot this and then I've done a victory for God. But even if we look at 9/11.
What caught my eye is more than 1,300 architects and engineers examine the evidence about Building 7's collapse and disagree with the official report issued by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. I certainly am much more open-minded about it than I was, and it is because of the involvement of the 9/11 families and all these engineers and architects.
You are about to hear from architect of 23 years, Richard Gage, AIA, member of the American Institute of Architects and founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Now there are more than 1,500 architects and engineers who say that it could not have been brought down by office fires. They are backed by 9/11 family members. We're calling for an independent, unbiased investigation.
I'm a family member trying to find out the answers to the murder of 3,000 plus people. The bottom line is that it needs to be investigated properly.
please look at architects and engineers. People all around the world, scientists all around the world, are questioning this. And there's some deep, deep explaining to do.
It took some kind of consciousness raising on my part before I was willing to look at the possibilities. And really, you need to go where the evidence leads.
As an engineer, I have 3 degrees in engineering. I signed that petition for architects and engineers for 9/11 truth some time ago because the American people absolutely need the truth of 9/11.
Look at the evidence. In fact, I'll say this very categorically. Any reasonable person who looks at the evidence that's been brought forward has got to come away with the feeling that something has to be done, a real investigation has to be put forward.
We will never heal. This country will never, ever, ever forget that day. We have to demand a new investigation. I want justice here.
If we have Muslims who are who would be destroying these buildings in America, what was the end result? Iraq gets obliterated, Afghanistan gets obliterated, and it's justification for this gigantic so-called war on terror, right? Third issue is a type of romanticism where people believe that they are superheroes that and they can come in and save the day. And what I've just described for you seems to be consistent in many of these young people. But what I've also described for you is, I think, every other teenager, right? And so the way I frame this problem of people who are attracted to what is today ISIS, what was yesterday Al-Qaeda, and tomorrow who knows what it'll be. Some people, to deal with their angst, they go to drugs. Some people go to boyfriend-girlfriend. Some people go to other bad habits or bad crowd. And now there's this crop of people who go to this in the Muslim community, but go to the American South, and those people go to you know, white supremacist militias. The hard part is figuring out who's the one who's going to go in that direction. But nevertheless, a point that I make to many people is that, okay, ISIS exists today. If there is an Islamic connection, why didn't ISIS exist 100 years ago? That if Islam is a cause. And the point being that Islam is somewhere in there, or what people want to call Islam is in there somewhere, but so is geopolitics. Right.
You have the former military chief who's saying that the Iraq war was a failure. I mean, and he talks about the point I want to focus here is that helped create ISIS. Mm-hmm. And many of the generals and people in authority are saying that, you know, this was something like you're saying, talking about geopolitical and actually this was the vacuum effect.
Mm-hmm. Meaning the best group to look at in recent history to get a sense of ISIS today or what ISIS is supposed to be today is to go back to Cambodia and Vietnam a few decades ago and look at this group called the Khmer Rouge. There's a whole Oscar-winning movie about it called The Killing Fields. Mm-hmm. And what was taking place there? We, the United States, were fighting the Soviets, and one of the grounds for that fight was Southeast Asia. And when people left, you had the Khmer Rouge who came in, who were hardcore communists, and they're wiping everyone out by today's language, by the sword. They're just killing everybody in their way. ISIS is very much, as far as we know, something very similar to that. And eventually they themselves were wiped out. And then, of course, in Muslim history, we have the Khawarij, which were these groups of ultra-militant literalists who were even foreshadowed by the Prophet, peace be upon him, and who committed violence against the beloved companions and the family of the Prophet, peace be upon him. May God be pleased with them. But the point is that these groups don't exist in a vacuum. They exist in an environment where some people go in and take advantage, and other people, they have no clue of what better to do.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to take a break. Going off that, there's also right now media, I mean, it's not, you haven't even heard of these, but they're doing an ethnic cleansing right now in the Central African Republic. Have you heard of these?
For a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't hear about it. They're killing thousands, I mean, thousands of people. You don't hear about this stuff. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and put things, when we come back, into perspective, give you some facts, not fiction. You've heard the saying, not all, how does it go? Not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslims.
Yeah, other stuff.
We're going to let the numbers speak.
Okay.
We'll be right back here on the Dean Show with Professor Omar. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Has nothing to do with my prophet. Please just stop it. It doesn't make any sense. That's not the message he sent. That's not what he meant. That's not why he came. So you can claim as much as you want to, but I assure you the man I follow was not the same. See, I know a man who forbade the cutting down of a plant, who even spoke against those who had burnt an ant. So why is it that I simply can't understand how we claim to follow the same man? I mean, I know a man who forbade us from harming the innocent, saying he who does so would not only be prohibited from paradise, but he would not even smell its scent. So please tell me how what you're doing has anything to do with the message that he sent. This is the man who forbade us from even scaring cattle with a knife, saying you have no right to let the animal die twice. And when he was asked for advice, he'd reply, "Don't get angry, don't get angry, don't get angry," repeating it thrice.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show, now when I had started, we had talked about just this year alone. So we put things in perspective because the media is making it seem like the only people that are crazy out there are the Muslims, right? And we know that a Muslim is simply one who submits to the will of God. Mm-hmm. Any peaceful person who submits to one God, the same God that Jesus, Moses, Abraham, peace be upon them all, who they call people to submit, that's the one God. And a Muslim, it's an oxymoron. You can't be one who submits to the will of God, trying to please God, and you're killing innocent mm-hmm. people. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. But now, I wanted to share with our audience the numbers. You know, they don't lie. You had just in this country alone 356 mass murders mm-hmm. that have happened. Two of those, one is just too many, mm-hmm. right? You had from 1980 to 2005, you had the FBI data report showing that now from all these years that only 6% had mm-hmm. any links to Islam. Mm-hmm. 94% were people who had nothing to do with Islam. Mm-hmm. Then you had the Europol from 2006 to 2007. Again, putting things in perspective, 1% linked back to mm-hmm. Anything with Islam. Mm-hmm. 180,000 Americans killed by other Americans since 9/11, mm-hmm. and only 30, I think it was around close to 40, were Muslim, mm-hmm. right? When you hear these, when people see that, when you put this in perspective, people don't usually see these numbers, mm-hmm. right? But now when they see them, I mean, what do you take when you hear this?
Well, because I'm already familiar with these numbers and because I'm a Muslim growing up in America, the numbers are more surprising just because of how many people are getting killed in America, right? Killing is not part of our conversation. Protecting ourselves from getting killed is part of our conversation, but that's because of handgun violence that's taking place by anybody, right? I think there are a few points that have to be brought to our attention. One is that by and large, Islam is a deterrent for violence rather than a contributor to violence. No doubt there are people who believe that committing violence is the Islamic way, and it's hard to find a person who is like that unless they've already gotten caught, right? The other issue, the bigger issue for us as Muslims in America is to figure out how do we respond to all this. So what you're doing right now is a very good step to show that the facts don't line up. And the bigger question is, where do we go from here? If we look at the history of Islam in America, not only do we find that we're not violent, we find that we are part of the whole growth and development of America. You and I are here in Chicago. Sears Tower, which is now called the Willis Tower, the John Hancock Building, were designed by a Muslim. The most famous boxer of them all was a Muslim, right? Even one of the most famous jazz musicians, I mean, this is off the topic, John Coltrane, he was a Muslim. And the point that I'm making is that what we have to do as Muslims is not only show how important we are in building America. I mean, consider how many physicians in Chicago or how many cab drivers in Chicago are Muslim. And then take that model and then figure out how to fix these problems in society. While people are blaming us, while people are throwing rocks at us, our approach should be that we will continue to feed them and we will continue to build this country because this is our home. That is very much what we find in the tradition of Islam throughout history, going back to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and from empire to empire to empire, taking what is great about a nation and then figuring out how to make it even better.
Yeah. I want to take you to a clip, something that's, again, very disturbing to hear, and get your take on it.
If more good people had concealed carry permits, then we could end those Muslims before they walk in and kill us.
Yeah, it's that was a statement by the current president of Liberty University, Jerry Falwell Jr., the son of Jerry Falwell, who has passed away. I mean, people are always pointing fingers at how Islam is being misused. Christianity is what's being misused. Christianity is being used to convince people to arm themselves and be ready to kill if needed. And show me where that is in the Gospels. In Christianity, it's definitely not there in the Islamic narrative on Jesus, peace be upon him, and it's definitely not there in the Christian narrative on Jesus. But you have people who believe that that is not only the American way but the Christian way, and I think as a Muslim, I'm offended for Christianity that that's happening. And to take this point a step further, what is it that's motivating this? I think what's motivating this is some very deep fear. That why would somebody arm themselves? They're afraid of something. It's not macho to be able to kill someone. It's the Prophet, peace be upon him, was reported to tell us that the strong is not the one who can knock someone down. The strong is the one who can control himself. And you and I, as Muslims in society, have to figure out how to cure this fear that's taking place, that's leading people to behave in the most ridiculous ways.
I think that, you know, people... such as the Farwell gentleman, who would probably fall under the latest numbers, the study that was done. And again, these are the data showing by a Homeland Security report that the greatest threat to America is the domestic threat of far-right radicals. I mean, they did another study, and they showed that 50% of Republicans say dismantle the Constitution and make the Christian Sharia.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard these numbers?
I've heard. I don't recall the numbers.
57% of Republicans, according to a new poll, say dismantle the Constitution. We need Christianity as our national religion. Now, this might come as a shock to you.
Because people are seeing it now. I mean, this is the reports.
Here again, we're living in Chicago. My father, he was walking out of Fajr prayer early in the morning in Orland Park. He didn't notice this until it was on the news, but while he was walking out, somebody shot at the dome of the mosque, and that later on that day, in the local shopping mall, the cars were plastered with ads for the KKK. The KKK is a far bigger threat in Chicago than ISIS is.
This is Orland Park here,
here in Chicago.
In Chicago. This happened when?
This happened March of, I think, 2014, I believe.
Yeah. Wow, subhanAllah.
Yeah. And so we do have to be honest about where the problems are. And we can't get ourselves distracted from all these other things that the news wants to talk about because it'll get ratings. Yeah. And you and I have the responsibility for fixing it.
I mean, I usually tell people when we say, again, that's another... hype that's created around the word Sharia. Sharia is obviously, I say Christian Sharia because that's what they want to implement. Sharia obviously came to protect life.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime you see life being taken, something unjust, no. Sharia is the Ten Commandments, whatever the prophets brought. That's just the law of God and is to preserve life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I intentionally didn't use the word Sharia, just like I don't use the word jihad in those ways because I just find it repulsive because this is a sacred, uplifting concept, and even if people want to misuse it, I think it's inappropriate there.
Yeah, we're going to take a break, Professor, and we'll be right back with more here on The Dean Show. We'll be right back.
So what is it that we still don't understand when we claim to follow Islam, yet we fail to follow this man? I mean, I know a man who was so caring and compassionate, who said that there is a reward in serving all things that are animate. In other words, everything that breathes, whether it be the animals, the trees, and every single human being. I mean, if Allah called him Rahmatan Lil Alameen, how dare you call him anything else that contravenes? See, this is a man who said that the Muslim was he who is soft, simple, and lenient. A man who taught us himself to be cautious from falling into extremism. See, he was never given two choices, except he chose that which was easiest. Not for himself, but for his people and their convenience. See, I know a man who advocated for the freedom of the slaves. A man who taught us that the Muslim is the one from whom the people are safe. Not only from his hands, but even from the words that he says. See, this is a man who would never mock, mimic, nor ridicule, nor would he ever publicly rebuke an individual. This is the man I follow, so forgive me if this sounds unusual. But the man I know was so much more handsome, so beautiful.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show with Professor Omar. Tell us, I'm going to take you to another. I like this statement. It talks about, listen to this. This is Mr. Johnson from the Secretary of Homeland Security talking about give the Muslims a larger platform. Mm-hmm. Take it away.
I'm asking them to partner with community leaders in the Muslim community to give them a larger platform for their message, to give them a larger platform and a larger microphone for the counter message.
Wow, did you hear that? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're giving ISIS, my guest Khalil Meek was on the show and he said something really, I mean, that carries a lot of weight to it. He said that the media today is like almost recruiting for ISIS, mm-hmm. you know, constantly giving them the platform. But you see what the gentleman said? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
So I'll give you a positive and a negative. A positive is that the Council of Islamic Organizations of Chicago actually said this to Homeland Security and to the FBI, that you're using these methods of entrapment, you're using these very inappropriate, unethical methods. Why don't you work with us? Because we know the community and we care about the community and we don't want our young people to get in trouble. And so we have been working with them to figure out how to cure some of the things that would lead to these problems. The negative is that it also puts the burden of responsibility on us to seek out criminals. And the point being that looking at the stats that you provided, within the Muslim community or within American society, so-called Islamic radicalization is a tiny problem. You look at the media, you think it's the biggest problem in the world. And so, yes, we as Muslims should be responsible for our own communities, and we are. But the negative is that we have a bigger problem of Muslims leaving Islam. We have a bigger problem of domestic violence. We have a bigger problem, that's just within the Muslim community, but in terms of greater Chicago society or American society, the problem of violence in Chicago, the problem of hunger in Chicago is much, much more of a priority as far as I'm concerned than so-called Islamic radicalization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you give us the platform, let's say, for example, I mean, they put The Dean Show on one of these major networks and let us get the message out, right? Mm-hmm. One of the probably the only Islamic talk shows in America.
Yeah, I mean,
Alhamdulillah. I mean, so now, or bringing on people like yourself, people who are out there, the leaders in the community, mm-hmm. and let them speak on what Islam is and what Islam isn't, mm-hmm. and let us have that platform. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's great what he's saying. Instead of just promoting, pumping up ISIS like mm-hmm. as if they represent Islam, because that's all the people are seeing. Daesh, 24/7, and then the average layman thinks that these are. Muslims, the boogeyman coming mm-hmm. to get you. It's like KKK being pumped up all day and night as if this represents Christianity.
Yeah, and if KKK was getting covered, it would get a lot more membership. And then building upon what you're saying, we start with speaking about what Islam is and what isn't, and then as you and I live what Islam is and isn't, then we will see not only a change in how people look at Muslims, but we will see a change in society because we'll be doing our job. Where I live in Chicago, I live in the south side of Chicago, and my wife and I, we often say that as far as Muslims are concerned, we live in the safest neighborhood in all of Chicago. It's almost entirely African-American. And the history of Islam in the African-American community, regardless of issues of problematic theology, the history of Islam in the African-American community is that it's something that presented itself as something that's improving the lives of people, that's improving society. And so if people understand that to be what Islam is, then everyone is going to love it, even if they don't become Muslim.
I mean, bullying is an epidemic today amongst kids, but I think we're seeing it with adults now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see Muslims who are the most, if you look, the numbers don't lie, some of the most peaceful, the most charitable, the most hospitable people in the world. And would you say now with all of this Islamophobia rising, I mean, instead of coming up to your neighbor and talking to him and say, look, I heard this stuff on the news. Can you tell me about Islam? Do you really believe? Talk. Let's open up.
Absolutely.
People are, I mean, doing some heinous, demonic things. I mean, this is bullying. Mm-hmm. And worse than that. What do you think?
Yeah. The fuel of bullying is anger. And one of the most frightening chapters in the Quran comes at the very end. It's about this gentleman, Abu Lahab, who was named that, the father of the flame, because he had a fiery temper and he even looked like he was always angry. And anger destroys. That surah speaks about how his anger destroyed himself, destroyed his wife because she was fueling the fire. And he's one of the few people spoken of in the Quran as going straight to paradise. And so we have to figure out how to cure this anger that's taking place. And I'm suggesting that the fuel of this anger is just fear. Mm-hmm. And if a person can reach a point that they are comfortable, that God will take care of them. No matter what struggles they get hit, that will cure much of the fears in our society.
You're talking about Abu, he went straight to the what? To the hellfire?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Tell us, Sheikh, do you think now, look, with all what's going on, I mean, there's got to be light at the, you know, these women out there who are just trying to follow the way of Jesus' mother Mary, modesty. They're trying to be of good, noble character. Mm-hmm. They're not talking about leaving their babies behind and doing some crazy, demonic thing. That will actually be a straight one-way ticket to the hellfire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is something that Islam does not condone. It condemns with no ambiguity there. I mean, but now they're being harassed. You see all these reports, you know. Is there a light at the end of the tunnel?
Sure.
What someone's like, you know, what do we do?
So in the short term, a person has to keep him or herself safe, right? It's a reality that people are getting harassed, people are getting assaulted, and we keep hearing these stories of people that are actually getting killed. So it's a real problem. People have to keep themselves safe. In terms of the long term, there were even points where the prophets, peace be upon them, said, when is the help of God coming? And an important point here is that we all know that the help of God is coming, and we also know, guaranteed from God, that he's never going to give us anything we can't handle. So the point we have to do is first turn back to God and remind ourselves that, all right, there's chaos in the world, and chaos is going to happen. My job is to keep moving forward, and things will change.
Let's end off on a good note. I heard a story, and before you get into that, I think open houses are just a phenomenal way to make the human connection. Me and my good friend, Dr. Sabil, we were at a masjid, a mosque, and the commander was there. The mayor came. We had community leaders from other churches. They came in. Priest was there, and they got to ask questions, and we got to express with them, share with them what Islam is about, what it's not about. They got to ask questions. It was amazing. You know, they left. They were just with positive feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I think every masjid should be inviting their neighbors to come in, not to be kind of just excluded and just, you know, disconnected. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think during prayer time, the mosque should be full. Outside of prayer time, the mosque should potentially be empty, not because everyone's at home, but because everyone's out building connections, building relationships, and building their community. And building society, to make our society, wherever we are, whether we're in Chicago or New York or Karachi or even in Rhodesia, what have you, that the point is that we are building, and we're building through connections.
Yeah. Give us this, I'm telling you, people who were the worst enemies to Islam, they became people who started to love it. There's so many examples of this. Once the human connection was made, and then once they really saw what Islam is about. You have one of those stories. Tell us about that.
I've got plenty of stories. One is a friend or student of mine who, 9/11, he was a college student. When 9/11 happened, he wanted blood. He wanted Muslim blood, super ultra far right winger. That was September of 2001. He started learning about Islam, started studying Islam in May 2002. He became Muslim. And I can give you plenty of examples like that. That the point for us is that you can't ever give up hope in God, which means you can't give up hope.
Yeah, we don't even give up hope in these people who are bullying.
Exactly.
Our heart is open. I mean, Islam is open to everybody. And let's end on that good note. Thank you. God bless you.
Peace be upon you.
And thank you for tuning in. We covered a lot in this episode of The Dean Show, putting things in perspective. I mean, just one, as the Quran says, killing one innocent being is as if you killed the entire humanity. Saving one is if you saved the entire humanity. There's no religious book out there that makes this point very clear. And a messenger who was sent as a mercy to all of mankind, who prohibited the killing of innocent men, women, children, people in places of worship, And this is one of the first crimes that is going to be, people are going to be accountable for when they have innocent blood on their hands. So no Muslim who is truly submitting to the creator of the heavens and earth, the same God that Jesus worshiped, because you can't be a Muslim unless you love and revere Jesus and all the messengers that the creator sent, calling people to worship the creator, not the creation, and to be on the highest level, the highest summit of best manners and character, to be best to your neighbors, to be a asset to the society, making the world that we live in a better place, not spreading corruption and hate through the world. And we put things in perspective that 356 mass shootings have happened just this year alone, more than the number of days. Just one is horrific enough. And then we ask, like, what's going on? We have no sympathy for anyone who takes one innocent life, who hurts innocent people. Now we're asking a question. Where's the tall, athletic? I mean, they asked, this is what the witnesses were saying. We got to go ahead and discuss this. And we talked about the 180,000 plus murders that have happened since 9/11. And a handful of those have been perpetrated by those, again, who are Muslim. But look at it in its perspective. And then we talked about the data reports from the FBI, Homeland Security, Europol, 1% linked back to anybody of terrorism with Islam. And also the 94%, nothing to do with being a Muslim or Islam. So it's very clear, the numbers don't lie, they're there. Muslims are the most peaceful, hospitable people today, but we're being bullied. You have a lot of people out there now who are taking this opportunity. They have this agenda to try to go ahead and defame Islam and Muslims. But humanity, people of consciousness, need to come up. And many are our brothers in humanity who are striving towards peace, towards a better tomorrow, need to come up and condemn these acts, this bullying, this terrorism that's happening towards Muslims who are law-abiding citizens, who are working towards establishing peace in their lives, peace with their creator, and peace with humanity, who are not talking about hurting anybody, taking innocent life. No way. Anybody who reads a simple book like A Complete Idiot's Guide to Understanding Islam will tell you that. So at the end of the day, you've gotten to see things in perspective, no sympathy for anyone who hurts innocent people. And many of these things are political, geopolitical, have nothing to do with the teachings of Islam. And the good people out there, the people whose hearts are alive, can see this. And we need more people like that to step up, to rise up, and to condemn these acts, these KKK types that have more in common with the ISIS and the Daesh who are out there spreading this hate. Don't stand for it. Condemn it. Be a voice against it. And let's work together to make this community, this world, this place that we live in, a place of peace and harmony by creating this understanding so we can live together as brothers and sisters in humanity. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Please subscribe to The Deen Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Deen Show by making a donation in the link below.